And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, everyone. Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Welcome to a special Thursday edition of the show. This is an important one. Not that they're not all important, but we have the directors of Where You Been, The Odyssey, and The Elegy of Luke Bell. Elegy, yeah, of Luke Bell. They are working on this documentary about Luke Bell's career, his life, and his unfortunate, untimely passing. If you're a country music fan and have dug deep into country music of any sort, you know who Luke Bell is, or at least you should. And if you don't, after this episode, go to wherever you're listening to, type in Luke Bell, and you won't be disappointed. We have Kevin and Matt, the directors, on today. And a big reason why, full disclosure, big reason why they are on, they got bumped up. I'm not going to lie to you. They got bumped up to today because, so it is Thursday. We had this conversation with them on Monday, and the conversation went to a lot of places I wasn't expecting. It really kind of hit me, hit my soul pretty hard. And I needed to get this out to the masses. They have a Kickstarter going to fully fund the film. They're getting close, guys, and it'll end next, the 27th. So whenever that is, next Saturday, the 27th, it'll end. Go to Kickstarter, Where You Been, the Luke Bell film. You can't miss it. There's also a website they've created for this project. So go check everything out. It is whereyoubeenfilm.com. whereyaubeenfilm.com. You can see the trailer there. You can get on the Kickstarter. Guys, I'm calling it right now. This is going to be probably one of, if not the most important film in country music history. This is telling a story that, you know, it's telling a story that needs to be told. You know, we kind of get into it a little bit, but not enough to ruin anything. not ruin anything, but, you know, give away some things that you may or may not know about Luke. You know, this, like I said, it hit me, man. Like, this, you're gonna listen to this and you're gonna go, oh, okay, makes sense. It makes sense why Jim put this out now, because I want you all to go and help fund this film. I plan on it as well. As soon as I get paid on tomorrow, not gonna lie. So thank you again to Kevin and Matt for coming on. Thank you to Rhino, everybody over there. Big thank you to Ron Howard, not that Ron Howard, Ron Howard who works for Rhino. Imagine if it was the Ron Howard. Damn. Anyway, so again, go check it out. They're everywhere. Where You Been, The Odyssey and Elegy. Elegy doesn't make sense. Elegy of Luke Bell. Sit back, relax. This is a good one. This is a real good one. So again, thank you again, Kevin and Matt, for coming on. And if it's your first time here, welcome. I almost feel dirty, you know, putting out my stuff here, but go check out our Facebook, our Instagram, our TikTok, the whole nine yards, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. And our website is Boots and Whiskey Entertainment BootsAndWhiskey.com, where we are going to give a review of this movie as soon as it comes out. And as soon as we have it available to us, you will get a full-on disclosure. Even just the trailer that has come out, it hits you in the feels, especially if you like country music or love country music. It's 3 minutes of just, damn, like, you just want more. Anyway, these guys are doing a hell of a job. Support them. It means the world to me. It means the world to them. Thank you so much again. So sit back, relax, enjoy our conversation with Kevin and Matt, and we'll see you on the flip side. Enjoy, guys. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailsworcester.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
I love that I have like a small lung.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello. Hello.
Can everybody hear me all right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, loud and clear.
Excellent, excellent. Well, welcome to the show, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. How are you?
You know, can't complain. Can't complain. You know, not. You know, it's a beautiful cold day here in New England, so it's, you know, it is, it's great.
You know, there's always something to complain about, and then there's always also nothing to complain about.
That's true. That is true. You know, and hell, you know, I guess a day on this side of the ground is better than a day on the other side, right?
Damn right. There you go.
You know. Well, guys, thanks for coming on. You know, I've been, I kind of came across what you guys are up to, and I'm very, very fascinated on what you're planning on and what you're doing. So I want you to kind of tell your story and tell us, you know, what the hell you got going on. And I think it's something a lot of people maybe don't know about. And I think a lot of people are going to be very fascinated about.
Yeah. So, we love talking about, obviously, all things filmmaking, all things Luke Bell. So we're happy to do that. Do you want us to, I apologize, I didn't catch your first name. Do you want us to do intros?
Yeah, sure. My name's Jim. You know, and that's really it, man. Like I said, this is your episode. I want to, you know, I'm going to jump in here and there. I want you guys to run with it.
Love it. So nice to meet you, Jim. We're excited to be here. I'm Kevin, and I'm here with Matt. So. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. I'll give a little background on who we are and what we do day to day and how we got into this project. Does that sound good?
Yeah, let's do it. Love it.
Cool. So, we're based here in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And for the longest time, we've been doing this, you know, our day to day business is. Hello, hello.
Hi guys, sorry about that. I have no idea what happened.
Hey, sorry about that. We're gonna blame Ron's phone. I don't know
perfect.
What happened.
Perfect. So, thanks to me.
Jim, we were just saying on our end, I can ramble for a while. Do you want to queue up like a specific way for me to go with this? Because there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, just go, man. I love it. That's what this show is all about. That's okay. What it's all about. I wanna hear the story. I don't care how long it takes you, it could take you for the rest of the day. I don't give a shit. This is your time to shine, man. I love hearing stories, man.
Cool. So when I was a little boy,
okay, all right. We don't have to go that far, man.
All right. Jesus.
No,
we're here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and you know, you said you're New England, so we're big time country fans, but we've dreamed of doing a film that would try and dive deep into what the heck is country music truly and what makes something country versus what's not. And I've had this passion for a long time. And truly, we were just talking about this the other day with someone. I was kind of mapping out this film in my mind for a long time, but I always felt like I was missing the counterpart here at my company who also had a passion and a love and a reverence for country music. And then so my co-director, Matt, on this project, when he came into the picture here at Rhino, it felt like we could actually have a serious conversation about what kind of story we could do. And really for me, I don't want to go too far down the tracks of this, but so for me, it was kind of like a, you know, I grew up listening to the country in the 90s. Okay.
Yeah.
And I loved all that, that kind of like, that was like the era, the heyday of like country just dominating in the charts. And, you know, Alan Jackson said it, like, everybody's going country. Right. So, I love that stuff. And, but then as it transformed probably mid 2000s or whatever, I just remember feeling pretty disillusioned with what it, what the radio sounded like, and just feeling like this doesn't, you know, it felt like a bastardization of something I loved very dearly. And so I got away from country for a long time, and I wanted to tell a story about how you get into, like, what defines something as country or not. And I was driving down south one day, and I like to listen to local radio stations when I travel sometimes. It's just fun to see what they're talking about and what music they're playing, who, you know, what things are, how their dialect sounds even, you know. And I tuned into a country station, and it was Taylor Swift's I Knew You Were Trouble. And I remember thinking, what the hell is this? Like, you know, the song's catchy enough. I'm not hating on it, but I thought, there is nothing country about this song. And it was just so objectively true at that point. And I remember thinking, okay, so Taylor Swift's in the club, and they're still going to keep, but how long are they going to keep playing this style of music and call it that? It just didn't make any sense to me. So for a lot of years, I tried to develop this country film idea, and I got connected with a guy who runs a website called savingcountrymusic.com. Just kind of reached out to him out of the blue. And we had a great conversation, but I didn't really know what to do with it, and I let it sit. And I don't know if you're like this, but sometimes you just let an email sit in your inbox, and it just kind of burns a hole there and doesn't do anything. And probably about 4 or 5 years went by, and we realized we wanted to pick up this conversation. Matt and I were talking a lot about guys like Charlie Crockett, Sierra Farrell, obviously Sturgill, but Luke Bell was kind of like the one that resurrected this in a very real sense. So I reached out to Kyle from Saving Country Music and asked him if we could have a conversation on camera, and we did. And we went down to Austin, and we filmed with him at this legendary dance hall in Texas called Green Hall, just south of Austin a bit. And then we had an awesome conversation, and we were pretty psyched out of our mind because Kyle is a journalist and he's a writer, but I hadn't seen really any evidence of him on video on the internet. Like, he couldn't find like a clip of him talking or being interviewed. So we were like, is he going to be good on camera? How's this going to play out? And he was phenomenal. And it was so thrilling to have a conversation about something I love so dearly with someone who can riff so eloquently and has so much knowledge and insight and is such a linchpin. So at the very end of the conversation, we had talked for like 2 hours, and I looked over at Matt, who is running camera and is my co-director on this. And he's right here, and I'll let him talk in a second. And I just said, you know, is there anything else we forgot to cover? And we really went down there with a real broad country music conversation in mind. And he's like, you know, let's ask him about Luke Bell. And so I said, oh yeah, you know, I want to talk to you about Luke Bell. And I could tell the look in his eye was like, man, there's a big story there, and I'll give you a little bit on camera, but you know, once the cameras are off, we kind of got to talking, and he said, that's a story that needs to be told. And you know, we hear that sometimes when you're in the media, you know, in filmmaking business, people say that to you, oh, that's a story you need to tell. And but when someone like that, who's that connected and that plugged in and knows his stuff, you take that very seriously. And so yeah, we came home and we're like, really we were ruminating on this idea of Luke, because we had been listening to Luke for years, probably since like 2018 I had first heard of Luke. And I just thought he was the dude. Like, I was so enamored with his songwriting, with his vocal quality. What he seemed to have an amazing ability to integrate the familiar sounds of like classic country music with something novel and something new that was, they really caught my attention. And so we just knew that the Luke story was worth pursuing. And like I said, Matt and I came home and we had a lot of conversations about it. And then we reached out to Kyle from Saving Country Music, and he offered to connect us with Luke's family. So, but yeah, that's my quick, how we got into this. I'll let Matt jump in and say, you know, like, you're tell them something about yourself. Tell them about Luke Bell.
Tell them about Luke Bell. I don't know. I think anything I'm going to say is going to echo Kevin a little bit. I think this project was one that was hard. It was impossible to ignore, I guess, was a good way to look at it. Yeah. Luke was someone that we looked up to so much in country music, and it was such a mysterious figure to us in a lot of ways too, just with him kind of being off the map. So even prior to Luke's passing, you know, we were talking about the idea of finding Luke as a film. Maybe that's the first route that we take, you know. And then when we found out about Luke's passing, it kind of became much more real, and then also something that we
more delicate,
something that we had to just take a step back from and really start to try to understand this story and, you know, give it some space, I guess, is the best way to say it. So we're really grateful and thankful for the steps that, like, Trigger from Saving Country Music got to help us take to get in with the family, and we're so thankful for them, you know, hopping on board and being behind this project and backing us. And it's been a journey already. So
yeah. Now, so, you know, you were talking about how, you know, you were kind of looking for something or a story to tell and, you know, whatnot. Did you have other ideas in mind before the whole Luke thing came into play?
Yeah, so for me, here's one of the things. I don't know if this how your brain works sometimes, Jim, but for me, a lot of times I get ideas and they're very abstract in that they're thematic or they're based on a metaphor or just a loose notion that I have. And what I pursued with the country film for a long time, it just felt like I couldn't grasp it. It was just like, you know, it was like an apparition or whatever. And it was like, what am I trying to say? What is the real tangible thing here? And I think in a sense, when we started, and like Matt said, we were talking about making a film about Luke back in, you know, 2018, 19, and 20, all through that time, because he was just this mysterious figure who put out this killer record that we adored. And then, you know, just seemed to fall off the map. So of course, as fans, we're thinking, you know, where the hell is that guy? And we assumed he was just back out west mending fences, or whatever, being a cowboy. And we had no idea what was really going on with Luke, and not many people did. So I think I've wrestled with this, because it's not like we pounced on the Luke story because it was possible. It's that all of a sudden, it was, we wanted to do it all along, but it seemed like, you know, there's no way to do that right. And in a sense, it felt like our number got called. And it was like, hey, this film needs to get made. Maybe you should reach out. Maybe you should, you know. And I said this to someone recently that asked, you know, why did you do this? And I think for me, I'm always someone who's believed that you do have a purpose, and I think it's important to try and find that. And I think the more good we can do, you know, here on earth by following that purpose, it makes the world better in little ways. And maybe it inspires people if you do it right. And I think that I personally felt a real deep sense of, this is what I'm meant to do. And I feel like we're doing exactly what we're made to do right now in telling the story and trying to find the redemptive parts of Luke's life. And even though the last 7 years or so, he really suffered, and there was some real tough times and dark times for him. There's a lot of people that love his music and that need to hear it. And there's a lot more that would love it, if the film can reach them. And so that's kind of where we went with this project and where we're going, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's wild, because I think you nailed it. You know, Luke's music had, you know, really for those of us that are into country music, you know, the way, you know, it sounds like the three of us are, you know, he had the trajectory. He was on his way. You know, he was,
yeah,
the songs, the music, you know, what could have been, you know, it sucks to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. And so on that note, I, you know, and again, feeling like this was meant to be, I'll say, I'd say, easily creative muses. I'm a huge Johnny Cash fan. I got Johnny Cash artwork and posters and everything all over my life. And just been very inspired by him over the years. And I wrote a talk that I give sometimes publicly that essentially summarizes the fact that how wonderful it was that Johnny Cash got to go out on an artistic high note. And he had kind of been on top of the world in a very real sense, and then fallen from that position and fallen out of coolness and all that. And then
with keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates, numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
And as an old man, being able to make art that everybody from young and old just respects the hell out of with those American recordings, and put Johnny Cash back on top in a very real way, I love telling that story. And but I start that talk I think it wasn't much long after Robin Williams had passed that I wrote that talk. And I kind of frame it up like, I don't know why people, you know, and I'm not, Luke didn't commit suicide from everything I can see, but I don't know why people go too early, you know, and people struggle with drugs and mental illness and all these problems that beset people who are great and have so much talent. I just think it makes so many of us feel a sense of tragedy when that happened, like a real deep sense, like, man, there's something that could have been, who knows what that could have been. And I think Luke had that. I think we just take it as our mission to carry his legacy on and get it as far and as high as we can in all humility. Our efforts can hope to launch Luke even further, if that can be done, I guess.
Right. Right. But, you know, at the same token, I love that you just said that about, you know, having that kind of talent and going too soon. You know, this is also a human story. You know, how many, you know, quote unquote, regular people suffer from the same sorts of things, right? You know, whether it is a mental illness or addiction or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, regardless of Luke's talent, you know, the way he ultimately died, you know, it's a very real thing. It's a very real thing to, I think, a lot of people, or the majority of people, especially in today's world where, you know, the fentanyl overdoses are it just fucking outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll very much agree with that sense there. My personal life, one of my very closest friends, my childhood best friend, has struggled with some of these issues. And I, when I speak to people who knew Luke and were doing interviews for the film, it's very easy for me to imagine how they feel, because I feel that I think in a similar way with my friend,
yes,
who struggles with paranoia, or, you know, feeling like people are, you know, watching their every move, and it's impossible to know how to handle that, because you want so badly to help him or see him find happiness or healthiness. And it just seems completely hopeless sometimes. And so there are no easy answers. And that's definitely a thing with this film. Like, we're not trying to paint a picture of, you know, here's exactly what you do in this situation, or if you or someone you love is dealing with mental illness, then do this. There's no easy pat answer that can be given. And it really is complicated. I do feel for the hurting people, man. There's a lot of people out there in society who are lost and hopeless, and they just don't know where to turn. And it does feel like we live in a time where, people are struggling to find like a sense of meaning and all that. And, you know, even in a small, small way, like, and I'm really not trying to oversell. I say this with a heavy dose of humility, but you know, if this film can be inspiring, like we want it to be inspiring. If someone sees this as a piece of art and says, damn, like life can look different, or I can do something I never thought I could do. Like that to me is the impact of, you know, the type of work we're trying to make, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, from that, you know, from that initial conversation you guys had with, you know, Kyle and all that to starting the filming process for this movie, how much time had passed?
Yeah, so we filmed with Kyle just after Thanksgiving of 2022. And then I reached out to Luke's mom in, I think it was February or I think it was February of 23. And then we set up a conversation, and essentially she expressed that she would like to have Luke's story told, and she would allow us to film an interview with her and Luke's sister, Jane. And we went out to Cody, Wyoming in March, I believe it was. I got to check my dates. I keep saying that. I'm pretty sure it was March. I get confused because to me, March shouldn't be as cold as it was, but when we were out in Cody.
Like, well, it is Wyoming.
Yeah, it was cold. Ice cold out there. And then so we got off, you know, we started, and then, you know, I'll say this too. What we're trying to do, Jim, is we don't know where the end point is yet. Obviously, Luke's life is ended on Earth. And there's a finite amount of stories to gain, but we're still trying to map out exactly what is the true narrative? What is the hopeful narrative? How do we do this in a way that's respectful and reverent and real? And so we're approaching this with a spirit of truth seeking and not trying to get to a place that we already have preordained. We know what it is, you know, like it's like, right. This isn't an agenda driven effort. We're, you know, it's not, I always say, you know, it's not like we're from Vice or New York Times documentaries. It's like we're independent filmmakers trying to do something, you know, the best we can.
Right. And probably going to tell a much more truthful story. Sure. Now, you know, you guys have been at this, you know, we're going on year two, right? More or less for getting these stories compiled. How much, you know, I know you said that, you know, you're still trying to find all the right ways to do this, but do you have a hopeful release date?
Jim, we're actually pointing at October of 2024 is our mission right now. And we feel like with the people and places we've been, we've covered a lot of ground, I guess.
Yeah,
we've kind of talked to a lot of essential folks that were really close and really cared for Luke, and now it's kind of just starting to fill in some of the pieces. But with that in mind and kind of with the other efforts we're doing to fill out the film creatively, I think 2024 October is the goal.
That's hopeful.
Yeah, it's hopeful.
Now, I am not in any way, shape, or form a filmmaker, a storyteller in that aspect at all. I love documentaries, right? I really do. My degree was in political science and U.S. history. So I think that's where my love of storytelling comes from. As you guys do these interviews and put these things together, how do you go about putting it together? How do you go about, you know, if you start you start these interviews in late 22 and here we are in early 24, you know, how much of them, how do you put things together throughout the last year and a half or so?
Yeah, it's no small task. And kind of like, you know, like you said, you love documentaries. I think there are a few documentaries that have really changed my life. And I think a good film can really do that, whether it's narrative or documentary. I think for us, going back to what I said about truth seeking, one of my issues with documentaries in general as a genre is that it's really hijackable by people that want to promote an ideology or just a certain way of thinking. And I often check out of docs when it feels like I've figured out what their angle is and there's going to be no more, you know, no more nuanced thought. And so for me, I really want to make sure that our film, yes, it's a documentary, but it's almost like it's hard. I don't want to, it's almost like we want to have this feel like a, just an artistic representation of who Luke was, which probably sounds like BS or something. But to answer your question, I think we are filming and capturing. And then when we come back home, we've been going through our interviews and scrubbing the media, looking for the through line. We've kind of built out the map, the story map already. But every time we do a shoot, that map changes because we learn new information or we find a new, you know, a character emerges on the scene that we hadn't really met before. And all of a sudden we learn some new stuff and it changes. But we're kind of as a team, myself and Matt, and then Nick Benitez from our team, who's a really brilliant editor, who's going to be actually editing the film. We're going to be working together as a trio, essentially going through the film together in the edit room and finding, you know, making sure we stay the course and tell the right story and tell the truth. But yeah, we're kind of starting post while we're still in production to Got some it. Degree.
Sure.
So it's like a 38 special said, we got to hold on loosely.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for when you make a documentary film like this, you know, do you, you know, look, I'm just going to use Luke's mom as an example. You know, do you go to Wyoming, you know, sit her down, put the camera in front of her and just say, okay, go. Or do you have things, you know, kind of prepared to ask her about this, that, and the other thing? Or do you kind of do it like this, where if she's talking, you jump in and be like, hey, can you elaborate on that? How does that work?
Yeah, I'll start and then I'll have Matt jump in. But I'll say, for me, again, when we first met with Carol, we knew Luke as fans, and there was a lot we did not know. So when I sat down and spoke to Carol on camera, I was getting flooded with new information and all this stuff that I was trying to catch up and pay attention and understand. And then, you know, fast forward to today, when I sit down with someone, I have quite a bit of knowledge. And honestly, it's weird because people are usually like, oh, I didn't know. It's almost like I'm now the one who knows all this about Luke because I've done all this research and all these conversations I've had. And it changes. And depending on what their relationship was like with Luke and what part of his life they were there for, because there's different phases of Luke's life that are very different in some ways. And frankly, sometimes it's shocking how, you know, like someone who knew Luke later in life would describe him as very shy, for example. And all the people that knew Luke in the, you know, up until about 2016, who knew him prior to that, that was the last thing you'd probably call Luke, because he was, you know, a magnetic guy who, you know, made everybody, he's kind of life of the party and drew a lot of the oxygen in the room. So he really shifted. And so depending on who you're talking to, and there really are different characters. I mean, we've talked to some real down home country folk, and then some very highly educated, you know, people who have great careers and all this kind of thing. So it's a really wide ranging thing, but, yeah, Matt, why don't you jump in on how we're approaching these?
Yeah, I think from my perspective, approaching this project specifically, but really any project that we're trying to put out, I'm always just trying to be, you know, you have to be a good listener. There's so much new information coming at you, but being observant too. Like my goal is always, especially with a documentary film, to try to make people feel like they're kind of there with us. You know, we're taking them on the journey. We're trying to find Luke's footsteps and walk in that same path. And every step we take could be a piece that we show or a piece that we don't, you know, and ultimately Kevin and I are kind of the decision makers on that, but we're trying to serve Luke's story to the best that we can possibly. So just being observant, trying to understand what we're hearing, kind of what the story is turning into, and then like, what can we put in front of the camera that will make the viewer feel the exact same thing we're feeling in that moment in time. And this story in particular is just, especially with that first moment with Luke's mom, sitting down, it opened up more than we could have ever imagined. You know, we learned so much in that few hours sitting in there, and it just became, this project becomes more real every single time we sit someone down. And I feel like I'm looking, like now I'm trying to find more nuanced ways every time we go out to really, really show and make people feel what Luke was maybe like. You know, we never had the chance to actually meet Luke in person or have that firsthand account. So I feel like we're going to be answering or doing our best to just paint a picture of what Luke you know, could have been like from our seat as best we can. So,
oh, that's incredible. Now, I got to ask you, you know, based on the music alone, right? Luke's music alone, we've got really, you know, one album, right? It was one full album that had been like released to the public.
Yeah. He had the one album that everybody can access now, but he did put out two other albums prior to that. The very first one he did was down in Austin, and it sounds quite a bit different. It's much more kind of folk, John Prine sounding, maybe.
Yeah, it's really different. It's cool, but
it wasn't quite the tone he struck later. But then his next album he did was called Don't Mind If I Do. And it was like half of it was songs that are on the album that everyone can access now is self-titled. And then there was a handful of songs, like five or six, that are no longer available, that are also really good, that we've been able to hear since going on this journey.
Okay. All right. So now the stuff that, you know, isn't, you know, out there for everybody, right? I don't want to sound like a money grab, but is there going to be a possibility of those things to be, I don't want to say maybe re-released for when the documentary does come out?
Yeah. So, you know, I think what I can say is that there are recordings of Luke's that have not seen the light of day and are not available now. And I think there's a real good chance that that music does see the light of day. There is some music that will be in this film that is unreleased, and we're really excited to have it be a part of this film. I have to have a couple conversations to honestly know like how I'm supposed to answer this question, but
that's totally fine. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I like to push my guests to the point of not knowing.
That's not too far with us. So.
Every now and again, I'll get some little tidbits because I've pushed to the point of it's either you tell me or, you know, you just don't. So
now we got to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com.
But I appreciate the honesty. You know, I really do. Yep. So for those things that haven't been released, are there songs that you've come across that, you know, based on what hasn't been released, that, you know, you think to yourself, damn, like, again, what could have been, or what, you know, maybe this song would have made a difference. You know what I mean? In the trajectory of Luke and made him even, you know, more of a commodity while he was alive.
Yeah. So I'd say I've definitely heard some songs that I think, damn, this dude could write a song. And this is incredible. I don't, you know, to answer the question, like, would it have made a difference? Only in the sense, I don't think it would have changed the outcome of Luke's life, at least. You know, who am I to say, I guess, but I don't think it would have changed history had he released more stuff. But I do think his star might be even a little brighter now. People would know. But hopefully if some of these recordings do get to be released, you'll see more and more people come around and be, you know, become Luke Bell fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, not to get too much into it, you know, because obviously we want people to watch this when it comes out. But through the research you've done, you know, even up until this point, I'm trying to tread lightly, you know, I'm as typical as I am to, you know, not give a shit. But, you know, I think this is also important. And there's also people that have been affected by this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Luke Bell passed away 62 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And again, I'm saying this real gently.
Sure.
Was there evidence that this was going to be the outcome through the research you've done?
Do you mean, was there evidence that Luke would die in the manner he did?
Yeah.
Well, so I think maybe, but I received the question, I think, in the spirit you intend entirely, Jim. So, and you're right, it is all very sensitive, and this is something we've had to navigate quite a bit. So I understand, you know, your concern with that. And I think that's great. I do think that, I think that Luke, let me answer this way. I don't think there's any real case to be made that Luke was trying to commit suicide.
Sure.
I think most people we've talked to maintain that position, that this was an accidental thing. It's tough because what you're asking isn't off base, but I also want to be careful because you could make the film, like a heavy part of the film, be, you know, did Luke try and commit suicide or was this accidental? And I understand that is obviously an interesting question. But I want to make sure that that's not a main focus of the film. I know that everyone wants, I mean, that's a very normal thing to wonder, I suppose, is what I'm saying. And we've wondered that too, obviously. And I have asked questions of people, but I think my main takeaway is that Luke was a troubled man who had a lot of issues. And I think he was struggling. And I think in a very real way, he knew he was struggling. And there was parts of him that at times in his more, you know, lucid moments, maybe he was aware of who he had become and felt a sense of lamentation for that. I don't get the impression that Luke was trying to end it all, if that right. makes sense.
Yeah.
I think he was tortured though by a lot of demons, a lot of mental illness. And I want to throw out the caveat that I try to be very careful talking about this too, because I don't know what Luke was thinking. I really don't. Obviously no one does. And I want to be careful right. that I don't sound like I'm the truth. You know, I'm trying, obviously there is the truth and we're trying to find it, but as of right now, I'm simply searching. I'm trying to give you my best take on what I see happening. But also very carefully say, I don't know. And, only God knows, you know?
Right. No, and I honestly, that was I think the way you answered that was the exact thing. That answered the question.
Okay. That's
100%. Good. 100%. And again, you know, like I said, it's a sensitive subject, man. And I got to tip my hat to you guys for trying to tell the story or tell, you know, to get the story out there. Yeah. You know, because I can't, you know, I have, you know, knock on wood, have never personally lost anybody, you know, in this manner, but I can only imagine what, you know, Luke's family and close friends ended up going through in those days and weeks after his passing.
Yeah, I think we all, just as humans, we want to, you know, everyone, I'll put it this way. Everyone lives with questions of how I live my life. What could I do better? You know, and I'm not saying everyone has regrets, but I think everyone in fact, I'll say the opposite. Everyone in so far that we've talked to, I think has pain and heartache about Luke, but I don't get the sense that people are shaming themselves unnecessarily to say we didn't do enough, or, and I certainly don't want to cast that on anyone who's going to watch this film, because there are people, when you make something, you throw it out in the world, the audience, there will be people that maybe say, well, why didn't you just, you know, get him on some medication? Why didn't you just this or that? Why didn't you put him in a mental institution? And some of those things happened and things were tried, but at the end of the day, Luke's an adult man who you cannot force to embrace, you know, some sort of drug regimen or therapy necessarily. And that has to be a personal choice. And I think that everyone who knew and loved Luke, mostly like I said, his family, but his friends as well. I would say live with a sense of, we did what we could. It's a damn shame. We love Luke and we wish things wouldn't have went this way, obviously, but I don't want to paint a picture of guilt and remorse and other than, you know, I want this film to be a celebration of Luke's life and the good that came of it and what good that could still come of it from people learning more about him.
Yeah. You know, I can't stand shit like that when people, you know, cause you get it all the time, regardless of what you're trying to do or the stories you're trying to tell, you know, when it comes to a tragedy or whatnot, you know, there's always those, well, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't they do that? And it's like, you right. know, it's never that easy. It's never that cut and dry.
No, it never is. And that's, you know, that's the age we live in. It's really easy. Everyone's viewed through the lens of a camera or a social media post. And in a sense, we're not making anything better by making a movie, but it's the medium that we have. And we're trying to approach it from the purest possible sense, I guess, to bring more good out of Luke's story, you know, yeah. best we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%. Now, let's try to bring this, you know, a little upbeat beat and a little more, you know,
sure.
not so downtrodden for a second. Now, have you, when it comes to you guys and your, you know, your country music interest.
Yeah.
Let's say after this movie is done, I know it's a long process, and I'm sure you're not even thinking about after this, but could there be a possibility of another, you know, docufilm country music related to, you know, something else or another band or another artist?
Yeah. Well, yeah. so we love filmmaking. We love telling stories. I always say my favorite memories of my entire career, biggest highlights, I'll say, are when I made a film or I worked with my team to make a film, you know, like together we made a film and we're in a room full of people, some of which are strangers, and you're listening to every, like, you know, breath and like laughter and heartache and sadness, whatever it is, whatever the nature of the story, there is no feeling like it. And it truly is incredible. That is something I pursue very much so. And it gives us a lot of meaning and purpose in our day-to-day work, because we're very grateful for the stuff that pays the bills, so to speak. But, you know, this stuff gives us like a creative North Star to be excited about and to build on when the projects come and go. And it's like you're working towards this big creative thing that gives you a lot of energy. So, yeah, we want to do more storytelling, and as we meet more and more people, it's just kind of how life goes. Someone says, "Oh, have you done a film about this or that?" And you know, all of a sudden, you've got friends that are in the space, and they want to see you do more things. And so, I'm definitely want to do more films that highlight great country music and artists who are doing real stuff. And I'll let Matt jump in. I know he's a big fan of country and filmmaking in general too.
Yeah, I guess I was going to say, I think Kevin mentioned, you know, there's more to come and things that we want to do with careers. I know we're really locked in right now on telling Luke's story. So, and it feels good, I guess. I feel like I'm in a really, really great place with this. And we look at Luke as an artist that's more than just a singer-songwriter that put out a good record. You know, like he's inspiration for us in a lot of ways. And
yeah,
that's a huge theme that I'm trying to take into this, is that when we put this film out, you know, this is us like trying to make a piece of art in a way and tell a true story. So how do we match Luke's level of artistry, like his level of creativity? How do we get like cut through the noise and like show his level of, like, he was a great poet, you know, his lyrics and the things that he wrote about were just remarkable to me. And I think that's something I really am just trying to stay in right now, stay in this story, stay focused on, those like little important details that I'm hoping will make a film that will truly impact the people that it's meant to, you know, the people that are closest to Luke. So that's where I'm at with it.
Oh, I love that. I really do. I really, really love that, you know, because it's, man, you know, like I said earlier, I love film. I love documentaries. I love, you know, I love what you guys are doing, you know, and to, you know, find something that, you know, because there isn't a lot of them, right? There isn't a lot of country music related documentaries out there that don't have, you know, some sort of bias to it, you know? And I think the way you guys are describing it, this film also doesn't have that, you know, or as little as possible, right? And I think it's great. I think it's absolutely wonderful what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Now, so when, you know, we talked about an October release and all that, what are you guys doing? What are you guys going to do to push it at that point? Is there like a, you know, without giving away all the secrets, but how do you guys get something like this out there?
Yeah, have you ever heard the myth of Sisyphus? We're going to roll a boulder up a hill and push it up all the way. So, you know, here's the deal. We don't have, like, and if anybody's listening to this that does have contacts, we'd love to meet you. But we're pretty bootstrappy in terms of how we try to do things. And we all kind of come from small rural towns. I don't have any, like, friends in the biz that could get us a meeting with Netflix or whatever. So everything for us is like put all our cards on the table, try to make the best possible thing, get people excited, open up doors one step at a time. And so what we're doing everything we can with what we know. So the first wave is going to be a run of independent screenings at select locations around the country that are relevant to the story and to us and Luke. So we're going to have a Cody. Like the first initial premiere screening will be in Cody, Wyoming, because that's Luke's hometown. That's where his family is, and that's what's most important. I want them to see it first. Then from there, it'll be Nashville and Austin and Kalamazoo, because we're in Kalamazoo, obviously. I have no reason to think Luke was ever in Kalamazoo, which would be crazy.
That would be wild, yeah.
Be good to know. But we'll do that, and then from there, it's going to be – the question is it important for us to get into film festivals or – can we try and strike up a conversation to get distribution, you know, without film festivals? Because the timeline, unfortunately for us, doesn't quite work out with most major film festivals. For example, South By's, you know, if we were trying to get into South By for this next year, that happens in like March. So we missed that window, for example. And if we wanted to do something at South By, it would be not until 2025. And so, you know, there's just, that's kind of the way the chips fall. Sometimes you just got to deal with it, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like our sights are just kind of set on making those, four total kind of intimate screenings, the best experience they can possibly be, you know, making those really special nights for everyone involved.
Yeah.
One game. So once those screenings are done, how will somebody be able to watch?
Yeah, my hope is that we can get – so there's a lot of ways you can get into, like, more theaters. And obviously just the more momentum around the film, the more likelihood this happens. But we can do, like, independent screenings through different event production companies where you screen the film in theaters across country. Obviously, at some point, it'll be available digitally. We're offering that through our Kickstarter right now, like digital download of the film so you can watch it at home. But yeah, to me, theater is king, and we want people to watch this in a room full of other people, because I do think something really beautiful and almost like sacred happens when you're watching a piece of art with other people in a room and all just focused on the same thing, you know, and the same story. But obviously if Netflix calls our number and says, we want to, you know, stream your film on our platform, that would be cool too.
Well, yeah, Absolutely. That'd be awesome. Well, that's wild, guys. I love the adventure you're on. You know, this is great. And I can't wait to see this movie, because I think it's going to be, you know, unlike anything anybody has seen before, especially about, you know, somebody as, you know, like I said, what could have been with Luke.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what we're hoping. I mean, I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, it's you know, just talking to you now, it's like, shit, October's a long way away, man.
doesn't feel.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
Like it does. Yeah, no, right? It's, you know, in 9 months it'll be October, so. Yeah. Damn. Guys. You're killing it. I love it. I love what you're doing. I really thank you for taking the time and coming on and telling the story and all that. It's been great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
How much more filming do you guys have planned?
Yeah. So we have everything's kind of like just out in front of our face for the moment. We know there's a lot more to do, but we're kind of only looking at like the net, like one game at a time kind of thing in sports analogy world. So we're going to be out in Arizona in the next few weeks filming with a couple people out that way that were important to the story. And then from there, we'll be back down in Nashville at some point. We'll be back down in Austin at some point. There's a good chance we get to New Orleans because Luke did spend some time in New Orleans and really shaped his sound there. But it's been a little bit harder navigating exactly who was part of that story and that location at that time. But we know we'll probably get to New Orleans and then, you know, bounce around a little bit more and just telling the great American story of Luke Bell.
Yeah. It just kind of made me think about it while, you know, we have a, you know, an October hopeful date. Now, what happens if, you know, in the next couple of weeks or a couple of months or whatever, and you're talking to people and, you know, you get to New Orleans and figure out, you know, people to talk to down there and, you know, some sort of big bombshell breakthrough comes through, then what happens?
Yeah, well, I guess it all depends on the size of the bombshell. We do learn little bombshells, I would say, pretty regularly. But I would say we're still going to prioritize trying to get this done in October. I doubt between, you know, and I'll just give you this little bit of how we approached it. So when we first talked with Carol, Luke's mom, we knew we got pretty much the backbone of a film in a real sense, because Carol's obviously raised him and birthed him and, you know, was there for so much of it. But
sure.
Once Luke kind of moved on or moved out of the house, I'll say, and then like moved to Nashville and really began his career. Obviously, Carol's back in Wyoming. There's a lot of things she wasn't, you know, there for and, you know, details she didn't know because, again, she's in Wyoming and Luke's traveling all around. So you miss things. You're going to miss those details. And you got to kind of talk to all these other random individuals to fill in those pieces. But the person on the other end of the spectrum of the story in some ways is Matt Kinman, who spent a lot of time with Luke in the last 7 years or so and traveled with him everywhere and took care of him and helped him when he was struggling and would go looking for him if Luke went missing. And so we talked to Matt right after, like not right after, but we knew that Matt was the next person we needed to talk to after Carol. So that would kind of almost form the two ends of the spectrum of knowledge that we think we need to have for Luke. Not necessarily like they're on opposing sides, but just that they each were pivotal in those different parts of Luke. So I guess I'd be surprised if there was a bombshell that would derail us in any sense.
Sure.
But you never know, because Luke did leave a very interesting life, and it's possible.
Nice. Guys, I'm so psyched. I can't wait. I cannot wait for this. This is great. This is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, for people, I'm not sure how soon I'm going to be able to get this episode out based on when your Kickstarter ends.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to get out before that. I might actually even move shit around so that it does, because I believe in this story and this film so much that, you know what, I might just do it. I might just make it next week's episode and fuck everybody else kind of deal.
Hey, we do not endorse fucking everybody else, just for the record.
Well, no, really listen, man, this is my show. I'll do whatever the hell I want.
Oh, there you go.
You know? Fair enough. You know, because like I was just saying, you know, you never know with these conversations what you're going to run into. You know, right. Like I'll tell you the Stone Cold Truth right now. I have like the next month and a half planned out. You know, all those episodes are done. But this is important. This is something that I definitely feel needs to get out in front of as many people as possible before this Kickstarter ends.
I really appreciate that, man.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, you guys are, it takes a lot to impress me after almost 3 years of doing this, you know, and to hear your story and your passion and, you know, everything that you've already put into this. We're going to push this pretty heavy for the next week or so.
That'd be amazing, man. We really appreciate it. Obviously the Kickstarter, you know, Kickstarter is funny because I've done a few of them now and I've gotten them all funded. Like I've never not gotten one funded, but it's always stressful. And the big thing I've been trying to tell people that, you know, follow our business or friends of mine on Facebook, for example, is like, hey, I don't need everybody to give me like $1,000, but if a lot of people could kick in a little bit, that's great, because the more people contribute to it, the better it looks for, you know, powers that be later on. They want to look to see like, is there interest in the story and how many people care about Luke Bell and this film idea. So I don't know what that'll turn into, but I always say like right now, I think we're sitting around 150 or so backers. And if that number got up to like 700-800 and it was small donations, that'd be killer. People usually do kind of jump in at the last minute because they see that you're close or whatever and they want to help out, but we'll see if we get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, for maybe, you know, maybe to pull the curtain back a little bit, your Kickstarter, you know, and the money that goes to it, where does that money go? You know, does it help get you to point A to point B? Is it, you know, to get the movie out itself? You know, a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Well, I bought a Cybertruck last year, so it goes to that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm playing. So, for us, like a big expense is literally the travel cost to get to hit all these places at Luke, you know, people that knew Luke where they are. And then after we're done with interviews, we're going to do our narrative filming B-roll. And so it does cost quite a bit of money to get out there between airfare and food and lodging and all that. Though we have been blessed, you know, there's been a couple times out west in Cody where we got put up in a place, some friend of the family's let us stay for free. So there's some really, you know, wonderful people that have helped us out.
Right.
But the costs add up for sure. There's licensing of media and music. There's the physical rewards that we're offering on Kickstarter. Like we have to cover those costs, you know, if we're offering Blu-ray or poster prints and t-shirts and things like that. And then it's a lot of that. And then paying my team's time to work on the film. Like I said, the editor and the people that get paid here to do the work we do. We're trying to cover those costs the best we can. And then lastly, the other one is just kind of pay to play. But with Kickstarter, they take a cut of your winnings or your earnings, whatever you call it. So yeah, if you make your goal, I think it's like 5 or 8% of your total goes to Kickstarter, which, you know, it all in all, it's a decent trade-off because it's a good platform and all that. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you again for your time. And, you know, for everybody listening, you know, go check it out. Check out the Kickstarter. You know, I'm actually just looking at it while I'm talking to these guys, and there's some great goodies to go along with it. I might just have to scrounge up a couple of shillings and throw it in here, because I mean,
a couple shillings at a time, that's all we need. Other thing I was gonna say, Jim, if you don't mind, we want to say there's obviously the Kickstarter, but we did create a website for the film, which is whereyabeenfilm.com. So hopefully people will go check that out and learn all about it.
Yeah, man, this is awesome. This is so good. You know, Luke's story is definitely one that needs to be told and needs to get out there. And, you know, definitely. I think once it is, we're going to see a whole uptick in Luke Bell fans. And that's going to be, that's what's really important.
Definitely. Right. That's our whole goal.
Now, guys, we kind of have a tradition here at the Boots and Whiskey podcast. You're the first directors that we've ever had. But we need to know about your boots and your whiskey of choice.
Mm. Whoa, okay.
You want to go? So, you know, you've got a lot of thoughts on boots.
Yeah, but I got to think about what boot I'm going to say right now.
I only have one answer because I only have one pair of boots. So I got a pair. This isn't like impress. It's not going to impress anybody. You said you're hard to impress, so this won't do it. I grew up showing horses at the fair and the 4-H and all that stuff. And I probably had a pair of boots back then that no longer exist. But I have a pair of just some basic Justin boots that I have screwed together because the flaps have come off. And when we were in Nashville last, it's just flapping away. And I stop at a hardware store, find like a 3/4-inch screw. And the boots are being held together with like 30 little screws. So that's my go-to cowboy boot. And then whiskey wise, I'll just give a shout out. There's a local, company down here in Michigan, called Journeyman Distillery. That's all their whiskeys, like kosher, and I'm not Jewish, but that's cool. It's, you know, it's kosher whiskey and it's delicious. And, they do really remarkable stuff. So, their story is really cool. And, I'm a big fan of their rye and their bourbon. So that's my answer. I'll let Matt jump in.
Nice. Yeah. So, boots. So I'm a big boot fan. I think my heart, to be honest with you, kind of belongs to Thoroughgoods. I wore a lot of Red Wings for quite a few years, and I switched to Thoroughgoods due to price eventually. And they kind of won my heart over as far as just a rock solid quality pair of boots. But I will say, if I'm dreaming of a pair of boots, I'd love to have a pair of Roll Club boots based out of, I think they're somewhere in LA. But they make some engineer boots by a guy named Brian the Bootmaker. Shout out to him if you hear this and you want to send some boots on over. I'd be happy. So Roll Clubs would be my choice. Never worn them, but I'm a Thoroughgood every single day. And then whiskey is whatever I got sitting in the cupboard is the whiskey I like.
That's fair. That is very fair. The whiskey part of this has been a an interesting part of this, that's for sure. I'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
I imagine.
Well, guys, thank you so much. You know, safe travels going to Arizona and everywhere else you've got going for the rest of this journey you're on. And, you know, we very much look forward to seeing the film and seeing how it goes. And, you know, when it does come out, you guys want to jump back on and talk about everything and how the release is going, we'd love to have you.
Oh man, that'd be wonderful. We appreciate it so much. Thank you for everything.
Absolutely.
And, thank you. Can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah, same here, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate
it. All right, guys. See ya. Bye.
Well, there you have it again, Matt, Kevin. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and telling us your story and what you're doing and, you know, what Luke has meant to you and what you hope will eventually come of this movie. You know, it's huge. It's absolutely fantastic. Like I said at the beginning, guys, the website is whereyabeenfilm.com, whereyabeenfilm.com. Their Kickstarter is there. You can go check out the trailer. There's links for their social media. Go follow them, cheer them on, support this because it is super, super important. And, yeah, man, this is going to be one hell of a movie. And like I said, I'm calling it right now. It's going to be one of the most important country music documentaries ever made in the history of country music. I just got a feeling. So thank you again for tuning in with us on a very special episode. A definite must listen. We do have our regular scheduled programming coming back up on Tuesday. We will have Crystal Lynn Mehta will be on the show. She was fantastic. So stay tuned. I know I've said a lot. I don't know why I do that. It's probably the ADHD. Anyway, thank you guys. Check us out on socials. You know, like you could tell from this conversation here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country. Again, Kevin and Matt, my God, thank you so much. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much to the Bell family and everybody that has known Luke personally. My heart goes out to you, and we look forward to sharing your story here today and going forward. So thank you so much for that. Until Tuesday, guys, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Cheers, y'all. Good night.